What's all this underground club business that's been going down without me?
Steve, aren't you supposed to be in class?
Not until I find out what's going on tonight.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Postal codes and zip codes are hard. This is episode 15 of season 2, Turn Everything Backwards. It is titled Euphoria, but wait for it, U-4-E-A. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Buttig.
We really better get through this fast before Dave has a rage stroke and dies. We just got a new mixer.
Did you slip some Euphoria in Dave's fruity water, Dara?
I mean, I should do that. I obviously didn't do that. I gave him the rage virus instead. Dear listener, we just acquired a new mixer for our Hawaii HQ of the podcast. So there was a lot of setup, and I won't say how long it is, but a long time. Let's forge ahead. Hi, Sarah.
It sucks.
Hi.
So... People who know the show know this is the episode where cracks start to appear between Emily and Brandon. Just when it seemed like things were going so well, he was caressing her sticky hair in the peach pit.
Also, literal crack appears, but we'll get to that.
That's true. So yeah, there's really just one storyline this week. Let us get to it. Before we get into it, there's some B-roll at the beginning where we see some students pushing a cart through the quad, including a box of Dunkin' Donuts donuts, which in L.A., I don't know what happened where they had them in the 90s and then they all disappeared. But when Dunkin' Donuts came back to L.A. like 2 or 3 years ago, the entire city went fucking apeshit. Dave, would you say that's true? In fact, it might have just been last year now that I think about it.
I don't remember ever seeing a Dunkin' Donuts in L.A.
That's the point. Like, people who are from the East.
No, I mean like after they supposedly came back.
Because there's only one and it was in Santa Monica. Like, it wasn't anywhere near where we would have
Dunkin'
ever seen
Dunkin' Donuts
it.
Is like Tim Hortons. It's just like, whatever. It's there.
Hey, they make to me donuts. And you, that's true. I'm saying to people who are like transplanted Bostoners or something, this is a big fucking deal.
I'm just saying, I think their nostalgia is misplaced.
Perhaps so.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah, you live in a land where Dunkin' Donuts are plentiful. Would you be sad if they went away?
Yeah, I would.
But same. Then again,
I mean, but not destroyed. Like, I think they're overrated. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have them, it's annoying.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
On the other flip side of that, like, the best LA donuts have to offer pre Dunkin' Donuts was like Winchell's, Yum Yum Donuts.
Yum Donuts was good.
No, it was perfectly adequate. It wasn't good.
All right.
Anyways, this has been Donut Report. Putting the O in 90210, and then the other O is the top of your coffee.
Again, and also the hole.
With the Timbits. All right. So as we begin, Emily and Brandon have become locker official. They have moved in together into a locker. That's a big deal. I remember that actually being a big deal in high school. Although I guess it wasn't for you because you went to an all-girls school other than to the girls that were very self-confident, I suppose.
Yeah. No, we didn't really have that.
Moving on. The girls of the gang, minus Andrea, as always, have Friday ennui. They're not sure what they're going to do. Brandon comes around the corner, and I put this in the visual aids because it's ridiculous. He's got his arm around Emily, but he's so short. I'm not trying to harp on this, I swear to God. His shoulder is like angled up so that he can put his arm around her shoulders. It looks so awkward.
Yeah.
But anyway, Emily's got a great idea for what they should do this Friday night, which apparently is tonight. And let's hear it in clip number 2.
I don't get it. An egg? Let me see this. It's this incredibly hip underground club. It changes its location every week. It sounds fun if you're over 21. You don't have to be. There's no age limit. Music is great, people are cool, and anything goes.
Cool.
It is. I used to go to these things all the time in San Francisco. There's nothing like it.
So where did you get that thing?
Some guy was giving them out on Melrose.
It's a flyer.
But this isn't the address of the club. This is the address of where you go to exchange an egg.
Exchange an egg?
You'll see.
Oh, God. Okay.
She has the egg with her. I can't get past that.
She's carrying around an egg, which I don't know if she hard-boiled it in anticipation, which I doubt it. But, like, you could just go acquire an egg at any time, and you're not even meeting up for this for, like, several more hours.
Yeah, and then later Steve, like, sniffs the egg, and it's like, we know what a fucking egg is. You don't need to actually get one out.
You really don't. Also,
and where does this egg come from? Oh, I see. And so, further follow-up question. What came first?
Also, I don't know why they used the take where Christine Elise thought they were just rehearsing, because she has zero inflection in her voice at all at any point in this scene. She's like sleepwalking through it. She's not a good actor.
Yeah, it is really, I mean, I guess there's the argument to be made that she's like a very naturalistic, like her inflections are always so inconsistent and often like weird and inappropriate. And I don't know, I watch a lot of true crime TV, and this is sometimes the affect that you see with like people being questioned who are like lying about one thing but like they didn't actually do anything relevant to the murder. They're just lying about something else.
Right.
That's her acting. So it's very naturalistic, but it's also bad, and she's not styled well. And anyway, we're almost rid of her. Let's move on.
That is true. So Brandon's into going, but he, of course, let's all say it together, will not
dance.
Doesn't
dance.
Not gonna dance. So then he is so psyched about the coolest thing he's ever done in his life, apparently, that he goes into the Blaze office to invite Andrea, because for some reason he thinks this is something she would enjoy. Let's hear about that in clip number 3.
So where are you off to anyway?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong clip. I thought I clipped it. Sorry. Okay. I jumped the gun.
Are you sure it's not clip number 2?
No, we just played clip number 2.
Okay.
I guess I didn't clip it. Sorry. She immediately jumps to thinking that they're going to this thing for an article. So Brandon and Emily both have to be snotty to her about how they're just doing it for actual fun. Heard of it?
Remember fun, Andrea? Both of you shut the fuck up.
I know. Emily is so obnoxious. And so she immediately is like, well, if you're too scared, because she knows exactly how to push Andrea's buttons.
Uh-huh.
She's kind of a dick. Then she decides maybe she can write about it. And Steve has entered by this point and tells Andrea he will bring her as his date. This scene, for real, takes 500 years to happen and to get where we know, obviously, it's going to go. So later, the kids are rehearsing their cover stories of what they're going to say. Jackie apparently is so self-actualized since she's become sober that, according to Kelly, she lets her do whatever she wants as long as Kelly tells her the truth. And then we're at the Walsh house, where the Walsh kids are workshopping their whole story of like, are we going to a party? Blah, blah, blah. Well, they're going to ask, where we go? And then we get to clip number 3 after Jackie finds Kelly squeezing herself into extremely tight jeans. And let's play it now.
So where are you off to anyway?
Just going out with everybody. Brenda, Brandon, Donna, Steve, Dylan, everyone.
Well, I know. But where?
Honestly, we're going to the underground club that Emily knows about.
Wait a second. I just saw an expose of those clubs in the news.
You did?
Yeah. They're illegal and they're in horrible neighborhoods.
Really? I'll let you know.
Oh, no, you won't. I can't let you go.
I can't believe this. I tell you the truth and you totally turn it against me.
Kelly, I appreciate your honesty, but just because you tell the truth doesn't mean you can go off and do whatever you want.
You know, there used to be a time when you were in such a fog that I could do whatever I wanted and you wouldn't know the difference.
Ah, the good old days.
Mother, I'm going to be the only one who's not going.
Well, then you're probably the only one who told the truth. Sorry.
It's pretty good showing for Jackie in that scene, I have to say.
And wearing an excellent silk polka dot blouse as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gone.
What?
My More You Know clip is gone.
Yeah, she...
Phew!
As soon as Jackie has left the room, Kelly flops back on the bed in frustration and immediately undoes her jeans, which you can see in the visual aids, which I thought was a funny detail. Like, fuck these pants. Meanwhile, back at the Walsh house, Brenda and Brandon are getting all ready to sell their awesome lie, but Jim and Cindy are watching a show and they couldn't care less where they're going. There's like some extremely perfunctory negotiation over curfew, but like other than that, they'll just like get out, because this was in the days before you could pause live TV. Kids, ask your parents.
What do you think they were watching?
Nature show. The Hitler Channel. I don't know.
Perhaps.
Oh, that Marlon.
There is a moment in there where they're like, "But you'll be together, right?" The implication being like, "Brandon, you'll take care of her, right?" And then they're
of
like,
course.
"All right."
Mm-hmm.
That Marlon Perkins really boils my potatoes.
Gross. Don't do that again.
Cut back to the Taylors. Jackie's on her way out to Mel's. Kelly is pretending to study. And as soon as she leaves, Kelly, as I have in my notes, Stephanie K's up for the night.
She's
put on a stretchy mini dress under her robe, which better choice for a club, I feel, than the extremely tight jeans, because you don't know what where you're going to be. They are in extremely bad neighborhoods, as Jackie said. Better to be in something stretchy where you can, you know, run if you need to, I guess. And then the gang is mustering at the Peach Pit, and Brenda is hesitant, as we will hear in clip number 4.
Brandon, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, I'm sure, but if you're feeling any doubts, don't come.
No, it's just that I feel like we're all here because Emily said so.
You really don't like her, do you?
Brandon, she's your girlfriend. That's all that matters.
Translation, I hate her.
Yep.
I've been hating her. You know I've been hating her. I continue to hate her. Let's just go. So the hated one comes over in an extremely unfortunate outfit, which you can see in the visual aids. It's like this. Well, whatever. I'm not even going to try and describe it. It's like a bra strap buckle
with like a seatbelt buckle. Yeah, yes, it's not cute.
Under like a leather bomber jacket with it looks. I think it's actually Lydia Leeds's jacket from when she was going incognita in that episode.
It totally is. And I think they bought it at not Anthropology. What's the other one? Aeropostale.
Yes, totally. Brandon is so psyched to be going on this plan that he's getting ready to brag about it to Nat, as if Nat knows what they're even talking about and would think it was cool if he did. But Nat makes sure to plot exposit that Brandon has the early shift tomorrow, so we know that's going to be a problem later. David is also there, way too eager, way too dorky in, as Sarah called it in the visual aids, a Sergeant Pepper jacket, and Kelly is over him, as we hear in clip number 5.
Donna, why does David have to go with us everywhere we go? I don't know. Kelly, get used to it.
Which, they still haven't really established that they're like a couple. I mean, I guess this
that's
is still...
That's why I asked for that clip to be pulled, that it's like yet another, like, where are we in the timeline of this non-relationship?
Right.
Anyway, whatever.
I think coming up next week, one of our two for next week is the one that's all about sex ed, where we get to meet new Felice and find out what Donna's whole deal is. But yeah, so I think that's maybe where it gets cemented. Moving on. The gang minus Steve and Andrea go to a convenience store to exchange an egg. The clerk doesn't care. David like does a test balloon of asking for whiskey, and the guy's like, totally. So then he's got a Mickey to take to the club. Great. When they get there, David is still super geeked about it. Brenda still thinks there's time to go and see a movie, and Dylan has some information he needs to share with Brenda in clip number 6.
Bren, listen, there's something Emily didn't tell you about this club.
What?
Well, I mean, people do come for the music and the dancing and all that, but some of them just come for the drugs.
Dylan, are you going to be okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just because they're in there doesn't mean we have to do it. All right? Come on, just have fun.
Have fun sober? If you say so, Grandpa.
Yeah. No thanks.
So they go in the club. It's, you know, it's a TV rave, so it's about 3% as crowded as you would expect it to be. And David is still trying way too hard to act cool, which leads to this annoyingness in clip number 7.
This is trippy.
What's trippy? What are you doing, sober, taking acid?
No, it's an expression.
Ah, kind of like groovy or far out?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave, just so hip, so happening, right?
So, anyone care to join me?
In his whiskey?
No. You know, David, you're such a geek. I don't want you barfing all over my beamer, okay? He's turning into a lush on us. Kelly, not everyone who has a drink or two is an alcoholic.
That's right.
And then he takes a pull on it and grimaces, because if that was what you were going to be trying to drink at a club and you usually don't drink, like, that's the worst thing you could get, I feel like.
Maybe well, and yeah, that little, like, hip bottle of rot gut. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I will say, Brian Austin Green continuing to impress me. This was, I thought, a pretty good job of acting drunk.
I have that in my notes as well. I completely agree. And later when he gets sick, like, that's a pretty convincing retching. Good job.
Yeah, yeah, and they even put the splatter. Like, I don't remember it being that disgusting. Yeah, there's some good, we don't see it, but the visual aids of Dylan's reactions are quite amazing.
Yes.
We'll get there.
Agree. The other thing is, like, why, I can't tell if they're all just messing with him when they're calling attention to the fact that he used the word trippy. Like, is that not a word that people used in a not necessarily drug sense at the time? Or are they just razzing him because it's fun? It's hard to tell.
I don't know. Like, it seemed super stagey. And, like, at this point, I didn't feel like Kelly was still supposed to be banging on about what a geek he is. Like, he's always around at this point. I feel like the writers couldn't figure out what to do with that part of it.
Right.
And also, like, you were at that birthday party where Dead Scotted himself. Like, shouldn't you all have, like, bonded or not by this point?
Yeah, that was the last episode. Seriously. All right. Anyway, moving on. Kelly is already starting to regret her choices, as we hear in clip number 8.
You know, I never thought I'd actually say this, but I'm starting to feel twinges of nostalgia for Steve. I know how you feel. That can be really depressing without a boyfriend.
Wow.
You know, I hate to say this because Brandon likes her and everything, but there's something about Emily that just rubs me the wrong way.
Well, she obviously rubs somebody the right way.
Of course, they are schmooping it up across the floor. But yeah.
And also, what a koozie comment from Emily.
So, like, obnoxious. Like, this is why people don't like you. If you're wondering in the next episode, this is one of the great reasons why. Because you're so smug about having finally landed Brandon after dicking around for 6 weeks or however long it's been. Barf. Moving on. Andrea and Steve get to the Peach Pit after everyone's already left. They establish that they're late because Grandma Rose buttonholed him, basically, and was, like, plying him with food, and he loved it.
Would just kind of way rather have seen that than certain parts of this episode took 40 minutes.
Completely. Also, I love that Steve's like, yeah, she was awesome. Her food was great. Like, that he has made a friend in Grandma Rose. Sort of cute. So Emily left a map on a napkin to give to them, which Nat hands over, but Andrea promptly spills coffee on. Uh-oh, cut back to the rave. Brandon is not really in the spirit of it, although Emily, to be fair, is getting exactly what's on the tin in clip number 9.
Do anything you want, as long as you don't make me dance, okay? I'll wash your car.
I don't have one.
Well, I'll buy one for you, and then I'll wash it. I'll let you have the marshmallows out of my Lucky Charms. I'll change your cat litter, anything. Just so long as I never, ever have to dance again.
Well, haven't you heard? Dancing's the key to popularity.
Well, what about that guy over there? He's not dancing. He's the most popular guy here.
Don't stare.
I'm not. Why, you know?
You see the 4 on his shirt? He sells euphoria.
What, the mood or the drug?
What do you think?
Well, you sell it right here out in the open in front of God and everybody?
Sure. $25 a hit. Supposed to be worth it, too. You never done it, huh?
No, do you?
It's supposed to really get rid of your inhibitions.
Well, I like my inhibitions. I'm used to them.
I will note, she never actually says she's never done it before. She just strongly suggests that she hasn't and is evasive for future reference.
I mean, whatever. Of all reasons for him to get mad at her later, that's not really on the list, but anyway.
Right. And also, Brandon, because he's incredibly uncool, can't stop pointing at the guy while they're having this conversation. Like, calm down.
Although the guy is the least subtle. Like, he practically set up a pin light above where he would be exchanging the baggies for the money. Yes. Like, dude.
And he's got a 4 on his shirt. Like, it's, yeah, they're really not
trying.
And he looks like a drug dealer. So Brenda and Dylan come over making fun of David's dancing, which I guess has deteriorated because he's getting really drunk. Kelly joins them, commenting that she feels like a fifth wheel earning Sarah D. Bunting's undying love forever.
Yes, in my notes. Thank you.
They start pointing out guys that she might try and hit on, including one in a mesh t-shirt straight out of International Mail, which you can see in the visual aids. It is horrifying. I mean, he's you know, he's got the body for it, but on the other hand, don't wear a mesh shirt no matter what kind of body you have.
Yeah, that's different kind of club.
Yeah. And Kelly thinks she has a hot prospect, but is soon disabused of this notion in clip number 10.
Hey, he's not bad. Which one? The guy over there with the four on his shirt?
Kelly. He's a drug dealer.
Oh, and how would you know, Brandon?
I'm a journalist. It's my job.
Oh, really? Is Jimmy Olsen now investigating the drug scene?
Brandon, I know what's happening.
You just learned that fact 30 seconds ago, so stop trying to act like you're down, Jimi Hendrix.
From Emily, and between the Jimmy Olsen reference and the In Front of God and Everybody, who wrote this episode? Bob Hope?
Totally.
Actually, it would be way funnier if it were actually Bob Hope. Anyway.
So Emily pretends that she sees someone she knows and takes off. And even though the Euphoria guy is 100% in everyone else's eyeline and has been the whole time, somehow nobody notices when Emily goes straight to him to buy some.
Well, and Brandon is like deliberately looking like up and to his left 45 degrees. Like, is there an interesting spider web? Right. What are you doing?
Right. Also, why is there even a couch at this underground club that keeps changing its location? Like, there would not be seating, I feel like. Not that I ever went to a rave, so I don't know, but I doubt it. Moving on. Andrea and Steve are bickering about her having ruined the map. They have no idea where they're going. Go into the wrong store. The clerk is justifiably confused when they try to exchange an egg. Back at the rave, Emily has returned, and here's what happens in clip 11.
How's your friend?
Well, it wasn't her, but I ran into somebody else.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Special for you and for me.
What?
It's for you and for me.
Well, give me a clue.
Now, let's give this to you.
I don't think so, Em.
Please.
I told you I don't do drugs.
Neither do I, but everybody says it's the best way to bring a new couple closer. It's a love drug, babe. Aren't you the least bit curious?
Yes, I'm curious about a lot of things. I'm curious how I'm going to look when I'm 70. I'm curious if dogs really smile. I'm curious why I have to study trig.
And you're not curious about the human mind.
It doesn't matter if I am or not. I have no tolerance for chemicals. I tried drinking and I totaled my car. You know, I try this, what's going to happen?
Okay, Mr. Perfect. Mr. Squeaky Clean.
Emily, come on.
It's okay. Isn't there any way we can satisfy that curiosity?
Sure, if some poltergeist broke into my house in the middle of the night and slipped it under my tongue, then...
Okay, I get the picture.
Oh, boy. So I did not realize that Emily Valentine was an attorney because she immediately finds the loophole in what Brandon has said. Unfortunately for him. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So she gets up to go get Brandon a soda that he did not ask for. So obviously everyone knows where this is going. Elsewhere, Kelly.
I will note.
Yes.
That she brings him back the soda and she's like mixed the drug into it, which I heard somewhere. Fine. I know this.
Yes.
When you're taking drugs that way, then like... whatever, you used to float magic mushrooms in a Coke because magic mushrooms taste gross. You try to chug the Coke. So she brings back the sodas and they both chug them. So if Brandon doesn't know he's getting dosed, why was he directed to chug it?
Right.
He didn't ask for the soda. He can't be that thirsty.
Yeah.
Like bad drug experience directing note. Anyway, moving on.
I mean... in fairness, this is also a fake drug. Like, it's typical. We'll see this again when David gets hooked on meth later and is, like, dropping it in his orange juice, which we all know.
Oh, yeah.
It's not how meth works, but, you know, they didn't want to portray actual drug stuff accurately, I guess, to not be suggestive, but whatever.
No, but
that's... have it both ways.
I mean, this is what I mean. Like,
yeah.
That is actual drug stuff. That is how you would do it. What I don't understand is why Brandon didn't just sip the soda.
Like a normal person.
Yeah,
right.
He apparently, whatever, doesn't matter.
Doesn't
matter.
Of
all the things to nitpick.
Completely. Sorry. So, as you say, she doses the drinks when he's not looking, brings it back, watches him drink some, and then they start making out. And after a commercial, Brandon feels alive and really horny. And let's just hear clip number 12.
Oops, sorry.
I'll ask you a question. Those bumps on top of your tongue, what are they called?
Those are your taste buds.
Oh, yeah. You know, I might feel really good. I feel really alive.
I know.
They're making out on the least crowded rave dance floor in the world.
Was that a kiss? What was that?
Feeling a little euphoric?
Something like that.
You feel euphoric. I love you. I knew you'd get off on it.
Whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here?
You're opening your doors of perception.
Barbara.
I didn't want to do drugs.
No, you can try it. It's on my substitute.
Yeah, but I didn't mean it like that.
Well, what's done is done, babe. Might as well relax, kick back, and wait for the magic to happen.
I still want to flip out.
Well, I'll let you. Trust me.
Sure, I'll trust the person who just told me that she dosed my drink with drugs I explicitly said I did not want to take. Clearly, you are very trustworthy.
Yeah. Okay.
I also love how even high, Brandon can still get a good bray on. It's like it hasn't relaxed him enough that he can't still get mad at her.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andrea and Steve are still lost, and Andrea is getting so frustrated that she allows herself to bitch about Emily in clip 13.
You know, Emily could have drawn us a better map.
There was nothing wrong with her map until you spilled coffee on it.
Yeah, but she could have drawn us something more permanent than a napkin, don't you think?
I'm sure she went for whatever was around.
Oh, that's definitely how she operates.
Ooh.
Oh.
Look, please, I don't want to be catty, okay? But it is obvious that the only reason she joined the paper was so she could put the moves on Brandon. I mean, she never gets her stories on time. They always have to be worked on. I mean, it's one thing after another. Shut up.
One of her main objections to Emily after she gets past that she's been sniffing around Brandon so much is she's bad at being on the place.
Yeah, imperfect copy. Well, you've convinced me, Zuckerman.
That's your job. Everyone's stuff is going to need work. No one's perfect. Moving on. And I love that Steve is like not letting her get away with it, but also kind of wants to hear it, which is very feels very realistic to me.
Yeah.
So later, Donna wants to leave. Everyone is annoyed by David, who is super drunk now, including Dylan, who himself was being super drunk all day, like four episodes ago, but whatever. It's about time for everyone's curfew anyway, so they start making plans to leave. Kelly and Brenda try to find the bathroom. On their way, Brenda points out Brandon dancing very badly, as you can see in GIF form in the visual aids. It is terrible.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Andrea and Steve are still crabbing about their ruined night somehow. Steve challenges Andrea to go after Brandon and not let Emily get away with it, which is good advice. She should have done that many weeks ago.
Well, or like do it or shut up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow by chance they have ended up in front of the right store as they see a bunch of scenesters going in. So whatever to that. I don't know how they could have found the one convenience store in all of Los Angeles. Doesn't matter. Kelly and Brenda, having found the bathroom, they agree it's the most disgusting place they've ever seen. Then Brenda steps on a syringe and then we see a guy smoking crack.
Oh my God. This visual is so amazing.
Yeah.
He's like the little match boy, but he's like the little crack boy. And the crack pipe looks like this combination syringe, like mini bong. And that, like, they literally have smudged faces. Mm-hmm. And then his girlfriend's like, it's this like Kurt and Courtney situation. It's so dumb.
Yeah. Which, why would a crackhead pay to, presumably, they have to pay to get into this club when, like, you can smoke crack anywhere? You don't have to be where loud music is. It's all ridiculous. Also, they're like the makeup job on them. I mean, in addition to the smudges, they look like beige. Like they look like two camel coats smoking crack. Anyway. Meanwhile, Brandon's dancing. I skipped a clip. Back when they were dancing, the truth about Emily's experience with Euphoria comes out in clip 14.
Enjoy it, Brandon. The first time you get a rush is always the best.
You said you never did it before.
Uh-oh. Okay, this is the real clip after Kelly comes back and finds Dylan. A phrase that I am 100% stealing, by the way, clip 15.
Oh, me three. So good.
We want to leave. This place is never again.
Yep.
The second time I got food poisoning at the Olive Garden, I was like, this place is never again. They are not a sponsor. So everyone meets up in the parking lot. Brenda realizes she's not going to meet her make her curfew. And then Dylan points out that some people at least had fun. And it's Brandon and Emily making out on the hood of his car. which they don't get a full sense of what's happening because David hurries past them to barf. As you'll see in the visual aids, Dylan like stands near David as he's throwing up, and like although the Foley work on the barf and the barf acting by Brian Austin Green are superb, I don't know why Dylan has to hold his hair. Like, his hair is short, it's not going to get in the way, he's fine, he doesn't need your help. Kelly is also starting to get nervous because she knows she needs to beat Jackie home. And she tries to bring Donna and ditch David. Of course, Donna's a decent person, will not leave him. And then Dylan and Brenda come over to check in on Brandon and Emily. Somehow Brandon has lost his shirt but has a jacket on, so he stopped to take off his shirt and then put his jacket on. I don't know what the order of operations was there, other than someone was like, we need to see your bare chest, and he was like, I don't want anyone to see my arms. I don't know. Here's what happens in clip 16.
I don't believe this.
Well, hey, Bren, relax. I feel great. I feel stoned, man. Well, you're the expert. I mean that in a good way. You know, you handle your alcohol thing real good.
Look, shut up, man.
So negative. Really, man.
Vibes, you guys.
Ouch. I feel really bad for you.
The end of that clip is a good example of what we're going to hear a lot of in the next couple, which is bad ad-libbing from the people that are supposed to be stoned.
Yeah.
They're not great. So Brenda demands Brandon's keys. He refuses on the basis that she's a bad driver, so he's not that stoned, I guess. But Dylan takes them and gives Brandon $40 to take a cab. And Brenda is concerned, and we hear that in clip 17, the Spread Eagle.
Dylan, we can't just leave them. I mean, what if he gets in trouble? What if he gets hurt?
Brenda.
What if he hurts himself?
You don't get it, do you? He doesn't care. Not right now. Look at him. He's so high. He's king of the mountain. He's got a girl. Everything's fine. Until tomorrow when he wakes up feeling like hell and will see what an ass he made of himself.
You know, I always thought that if someone would be tempted to get stoned, it would be you.
Well, I get tempted. Every day. Come on. Oh, hey, 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 come on, guys, don't go away, man.
Just go away.
The one funny thing in that exchange is that as Brenda and Dylan are talking in the foreground, in the background, Brandon stands up on the hood of the car, and like he's still sort of out of focus and like teetering. It's just really funny blocking. There's a gif of it in the visual aids. It legitimately is funny. So Kelly ends up...
There's a lot of funny stuff in this episode, actually. Like little actually Dylan eye rolls and...
Yep.
And he's like, party! And then David blarfs and he's like, or not.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, yeah. Go Dylan for once.
Yes. So cut to Kelly. She's stuck behind the one slow driver in Los Angeles. David has been in the backseat puking this whole time. Kelly lectures Donna about her seeing David and how grounded she's going to be. And Donna thinks it's going to be fine because Jackie's never been anywhere on time in her whole life. Cut to Jackie is totally sitting on Kelly's bed when they get home. Whoops. Kelly was right. She is going to get grounded. Andrea and Steve finally make it just in time for the place to get busted. Andrea gets out to try to get a story out of this. Like, turn it off. It's the weekend. And
you're in high school.
You're in high school. Yeah. Not that your outfit would let anyone know that. She's in like a flamenco vest. So they walk past Emily and Brandon. He's super handsy and tries to get Andrea to kiss him. She is grossed out. Steve is stunned to see Brandon so out of it, as if he hadn't seen him drunk the night that he wrecked Mondale. Brandon apparently has no memory of anything that's happened, doesn't know where anyone else is. And when the cops start rolling him, Emily is still holding $50 worth of euphoria. And then this happens, clip 18.
Have you ever done euphoria?
Jesus, who are you?
What'd I say? Hey, what's that?
That's more bad ad-libbing, like we were talking about.
I thought that was sort of good. I made a note about that, that I was like, hey, what's that? Like, it's like just one of those nonsense things that you're like, I thought I was going to say this one thing, but then I decided to say this other thing.
Fair enough.
Because I'm on drugs. And then his face, oh.
It's hilarious. It's in the visual like, aids. Yeah. So after the commercials, we're with Brenda at the Walsh house. She's been sitting up waiting for Brandon to come home. Apparently it's almost 6 in the morning, which means if he has the early shift at this diner where he works, he's probably got to get there soon, but never mind. He's coming down. He feels like hell. Brenda guilts him about violating Jim and Cindy's trust, like whatever, Brenda. He asks if she told them anything. She sarcastically says, yes, she woke them up to tell them. Of course, she didn't say anything. Brandon tells him that Emily dosed him. And then he says this, and it's hilarious. Clip 19.
I tried to get angry, but it was too late. I totally lost control.
Oh my gosh, guys. He lost control so much he couldn't even get angry. A Brandon who can't get angry. What even is that? Anyway.
Brief for you.
Oh. Yes. So there's some lecturing about drugs in clip 20, which is really embarrassing.
Yep.
People talk about drugs like they're so cool, but it's just big fake out.
Yes, Sarah.
They take away your real emotions just long enough till you think the chemical ones are real. I thought I was having these great revelations, you know? But now that I look back on it, nothing made sense.
Okay, we get it.
All right, there's some truth there.
Sure. But,
I mean, I don't know. Keep doing them, Brandon. You'll get it right.
Come on. Yeah, at least do them of your own volition. Like, to me, that's the main issue of this episode is, like, you don't want to do them and then someone forces it on you. That's a whole other thing, but whatever.
Well, and also the way that she's acting like it's couples therapy, like, mm-hmm. The way that they can't say that it's ecstasy and say what it actually, like, its actual effects.
Right.
I mean, that's why he lost his shirt. He's probably too hot. But then, like, right. They'd be fucking.
Right.
They can't really go there.
Right.
So.
Yes. So he needs to be at work in an hour. But first he needs to go and get his car. So Dylan drives him back to this parking lot. And even though the cops were there when they left and presumably raided the place and everyone left, the car was mega vandalized after everyone was gone.
Maybe, like, the cops did it.
Maybe.
Hashtag Rampart.
Like, it's missing a door. The front seat is gone. And something I didn't know until I went back through again to the visual aids. But Sarah, apparently your mother was involved because it has barb on it. Your mother was out wilding at this rave and spray painted her name on.
She's really anti-euphoria, my mom.
Dylan is glad that Brandon didn't see himself last night. And he can't. Well, let's just hear clip 21.
Yeah, but I can't believe she'd do that to you. I mean, that's cold. She said she thought it would bring us closer together. Did it? Dylan, man. Tore us apart.
Yeah. It was 4 hours ago. Simmer.
So, what are you gonna tell Jimbo about the, staying? No lie big enough to cover this one. I have to tell him the truth. Ouch.
I kind of love that moment. It's the spin that he gives that ouch is very winning to me.
Yeah.
It's just a very true moment of, like, fuck, this is going to really suck, but I gotta know.
Must be nice to have one parent in jail and the other one in Hawaii. But anyway.
Yeah. So next thing we see, of course, is Jim in one of the worst shirts ever in the visual aids. Very upset about this implausible story. The kids get cross-examined on the lies that they told in order to get out of the house. Brandon confesses that he was on drugs, but does not sell out Emily. No one really believes the dosing story, by the way. And Cindy is especially upset in clip 22.
Brandon, do you realize how serious this is? I mean, that stuff could have been lethal or led to some sort of psychosis.
Let's not go overboard, Mom, okay?
I'm not. There were plenty of drugs around when I was in college. I've seen a few casualties myself.
Well, I'm fine now, thanks.
I want to know more about the drug casualties that Cindy saw personally.
I'd like to know why he's not a literal casualty of taking that tone when he's just showed up at home with a doorless car.
Yeah, which, by the
way, because he was on drugs at a rave.
Again, let's talk about the timeline. That car could not be driven home. As I mentioned, it did not have a front seat. So they got it towed to the house. And then he was supposed to be at work an hour ago when he got home at close to six. Like, what time is it now? Whatever.
Yeah,
no one cares about this but me and you. And then the doorbell rings and Brenda goes to get it and dials her bitch glare up to like 500 in clip 22.
What are you doing here? Look, Brenda, there's no reason to be upset with me.
There isn't? Because I think there is.
Okay.
That's a tack to take, but we'll see. Emily basically shoves past Brenda, goes into the kitchen, and puts herself in the middle of this situation in...
24.
24, thank you.
Brandon, your car. I can't believe it.
Me either.
Emily, what happened last night?
What do you mean?
Well, Brandon tells us that someone slipped him drugs.
Yeah, poor Brandon. He was high as a kite. I had to spend all last night just reeling him in. Then why didn't you drive him home, Em? Because you took his keys when he threatened to drive, don't you remember, Brenda? And then you disappeared with Dylan.
You left him there alone last night, Brenda?
The prince of our family?
Oh, my God. And also, Brandon's in charge of Brenda, Jim.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. Which is it?
Seriously.
He's a Fabergé egg or he's the National Guard. That made no sense. Moving on to the next clip in which I may explode from rage.
Okay, but wait. I still have to say, Emily... That's fucking cold.
That
selling
is some
out
gangster
Brenda.
Shit. You're right.
Oh my God. That's so evil. Like, that was not even part of this. It was not her fault. You're to blame. Everyone is covering for your ass. Don't go throwing Brenda under the bus, you fucking bitch. Anyway, next clip. Yes, rage blackout in 3, 2, clip 25.
Don't worry, I'll pay for everything. That's what my life is about, working my butt off to pay for the damage I inflict on my car.
Sarah. Oh no, Sarah died.
Are you kidding? What damage has been inflicted on your car? Let's make a little list. Uh-huh. You were drunk.
Yep.
You were on drugs.
Yep.
You were stupid and bought a lemon with no warranty.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you don't get to be glib
Fuck
about this.
You.
Everything that's happened to your various cars is all your fault. So don't act like the world owes you a trip to the body shop. It don't.
No.
Anyway, by this point, again, hours have passed. He's clearly missed his shift at work. Cindy wants to call a doctor, which is kind of funny. Like, what is the doctor going to do?
After I get done beating him with a beehive,
I mean, yes.
You will need a doctor.
True. Brenda stares some hate lasers at Emily as she follows Brandon upstairs when he goes to get ready. And she's trying to get back on his good side to no avail, as we hear in our final clip.
Emily, you can't fix it like that.
Come on, Brandon, you had a good time last night.
Yeah, but I told you I wasn't into it. How could you mess with my mind like that?
I was just trying to loosen you up. I'm sorry. I had no idea you'd get so bent out of shape.
Well, how am I ever supposed to trust you again, huh? You tell me that. First you tell me you haven't done euphoria, then you tell me you have. What's the truth?
Look, Brandon, I just thought doing euphoria would bring us closer together.
Well, you thought wrong, all right? You bought some strange drug from some strange guy and slipped it in my drink. All you got out of me was a chemical reaction. That's it.
I'm sorry.
for everything. I'll pay for your car.
I don't want your money, Emily.
Take it, though.
Yeah, seriously.
Say it with cash, Emily.
In fact, I don't want anything to do with you.
Can I make a mistake? Not everyone's as perfect as you are, Brandon.
I'm not perfect. I'm just honest. When I told you I didn't want to do Euphoria, I meant it.
Next time I'll know.
Well, there isn't going to be a next time. I just need some space, all right? I need some time to sort all this out.
How long?
As long as it takes.
Do you remember the stuff you said to me last night, Brandon? Let me refresh your memory. You said, I have never had such intense feelings for any girl in my life.
Yeah, well, I must have been on drugs.
Done.
The music cue thinks that was a good zinger.
I really wish we'd done a little micro clip sound drop of David barfing, because insert David barfing.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, because this is going to be an issue in our next episode too, this, the way he breaks up with her, he keeps saying in the next episode that he's done it in no uncertain terms, but he's a little bit vague. Like, I just need some space. I need to figure it out. Like, this is shades of how did he actually break up with Cheryl, or did he, from season one all over
again. Yeah.
But whatever.
And he does get called on just doing a fadeaway, but anyway,
completely.
We'll get to that.
But we will get to that in the next episode. So that's everything kind of tails off from here. Andrea finds Brandon later at the Peach Pit. She was concerned about him. He apologizes for her having seen him like that and trying to kiss on her when he was out of his head. She doesn't know what happened. She's ready to listen, though, and he says maybe he'll tell her someday. I doubt it. And then she does This Is Your Brain on drugs, because it's the 90s, and that's
literally with
episode.
An egg.
She does. We don't find out if that was one of the ones she was trying to exchange, but anyway, that's the episode. And this is actually a pretty, there's some good stuff in this episode. You're right. Dylan especially is like really on point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great setup for all of the craziness that is yet to come in the next episode, which is kind of a big one. So let's hurry and finish this up and get to it. Episode MVP. Sarah, who is your pick?
Well, I think I know who you're going to pick, so I'm going to go a different direction, even though I will agree with yours and say David.
Oh, well, since you didn't take Dylan, I assume that's who you think I was going to take.
Yes.
I got to give it to Kelly. She, even though she gets busted at the end, she has the funny jeans moment. She's totally blasé trying to tell Jackie about where she's going and think nothing is going to happen.
Her response when she's like, oh, I saw those on the news. She's like, oh, really?
I'll tell you about it. No. But also, yeah. Really, it's 100% for this place is never again, because in the permanent lexicon. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, solid pick.
Dylan's
solid
great,
pick.
Too. Least valuable player, Emily. It's really shitty what she did.
Yeah, I'm tempted to give it to Camel Coat Crack Couple, but yeah, Emily.
It's not okay.
If only, like, leaving aside the euphoria entirely, her, like, subtle just being a coos to everyone at various points, like, yeah, it really sucks to have a boyfriend like that alone. And no one even registers it. Kelly's like, yeah, it does. I'm like,
no,
pull our eyes out. What are you doing?
Seriously. And she's so condescending to everyone, like, before they even get there about what this is. Like, I used to do it all the time. No one cares. Like, you're not interesting. This does not make you cool. Just because someone handed you a flyer on Melrose, they hand out lots of things on Melrose. Big deal. All right. The Kim Challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
Five reasons from this episode that Dylan is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Number one, he doesn't tell you until you're standing in the parking lot at the rave that there might be drugs there, which, by the way, Brenda should know, but still.
He does take your keys, but he gives you $40 for cab fare, which you're just going to spend on Euphoria.
That's true. Number three, he doesn't make you put a t-shirt back on when you're going to catch your death hanging out in the closed parking lot with just your jacket on.
If they didn't get the car towed, he may have, like, driven your car home while, like, standing on it, like, water skis. That's not safe.
Yeah. Fifth Reason, huh? It's tough. He's pretty good in this episode.
Yeah, he, I mean, I guess David could barf on his shoes and then it really smells on the ride home.
Yeah, there
That's
you go.
It's kind of bad, right?
Yep, you did it.
But also, you know, there's a lot of foodborne illnesses involved with eggs. So if you're not as smart as the lady at the start who probably hard-boiled her eggs she brought to school,
yeah,
you know, bad things can happen.
Great point, Dave.
Thanks.
Yep.
That's another episode of Again With This. Next time, will Brandon's gormless handling of Emily lead to a brutal attraction situation? Lock up your bunnies, folks, and point your browsers to previously.tv, where you can find the visual aids for this episode and many other fine TV-related writing delights. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. You can follow me on Twitter at tomatonation.com, or excuse me, just at tomatonation. It's been a long day. Our producer is at Clark, and Tara is at Tara Ariano. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
Every week it's like the first time.